a little child coming in Jesus' name. And don't misunderstand coming in Jesus' name. People think, I come in the name of Jesus. Many shall come in my name and shall deceive many. Deceivers also come in Jesus' name. He is speaking of those who come in Jesus' name righteously. Meaning they come to, imagine someone writing checks in your name without your permission. Now that is a crime. Someone coming in Jesus' name without Jesus' authority behind them is committing a crime against heaven. And it is a grave sin to come in Jesus' name falsely. So this one coming, this child coming in his name is coming truly in his name. Under God, in Christ, he's coming. And when we receive someone who's the very minimal in Christ, we are receiving Christ. Because he is even less than that. And whoever receives me, who am the least, receives him that sent me, who is the greatest above all. God. And he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. You want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be the least. And those two positions are taken up by Christ. He is first and last, the Alpha and the Omega. That's why you should understand from the teachings of Paul that we are co-heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Christ. He is not ashamed to call us brethren. We have to become his brothers, not his subjects. We have to become like him, not almost like him. We have to be as our master. He is our master, and it's right that we call him so because so he is. We got to be just like him, humble, but great, least, but greatest. They have the wrong heart about it. They're seeking, as he says in another place, that, you know, they're thinking of greatness in terms of the way the heathen think of greatness. As we're going to have rule over each other. I'm going to be over you. I'm going to be the top dog. You're going to be my peon, my second, my third, my fourth, my fifth. But he's saying, you want to be the greatest, you've got to become like this child, the least. You've got to become nothing. As the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others. We also have to serve one another. And that's what true greatness in the kingdom of God is serving one another as brethren, as co-servants. Not looking at myself as greater than my brother, but looking at myself as less than him. As Christ looked at himself as less than other people, under them, as servants to them. Jesus Christ came as a servant of man. To serve man. And also being man's Lord. And as you see how a true servant attitude isn't just like, your wish is my command. But it's he came to truly serve under God. To provide man with what man really needs. And to truly help man to get what man truly needs. This one verse here, well, these two verses about, we saw one casting out devils in thy name and we forbade him. Because he sees this thing about, in his name a child. It's like, boy, there was this guy, he doesn't go with us, and he was casting out devils in the name of, in your name, and we said, don't do that. Because he wasn't part of our group. And this is right up against denominationalism and against universalism. This is right against Catholicism. With a big C or with a small C. When Jesus was on the earth, he didn't say, I am over everything. If you're not running with me and in my organization, you are not part of my church. He wasn't even like that. You know, all the churches want to unite. And what do they mean? They want to unite in one organization. An earthly organization. They want to have one council where the all high muckety mucks all get together and they are over us all. Just like an earthly dominion. They're going to dictate the doctrine. They're going to dictate this, dictate that. They're going to control the money. They want to be just like the Catholic Church of old, which was never universal anyways. But they had claims to universality. And anyone who didn't run with them, they were in trouble. But Jesus says no. No. Against all that nonsense. The Christianity that you see today, if you can see it, which is, I represent it. I run not with them. I'm not running with your group, or with that group, or with any group. I'm running with God. I'm preaching the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not against him, I'm for him. I'm for this truth. Now, he didn't say, we saw one teaching false doctrine in your name and we forbid him. Understand there's a difference. Someone comes in Jesus' name deceiving. You don't say, well, he's coming in your name anyway, so he's for us. It doesn't mean that anyone who comes in Jesus' name is for Jesus. It doesn't mean that. It means anyone working a true work of God in the name of Jesus and is for God, they are for us and not against us. Whoever is for us is not against us. Whoever is not against us is for us. But it is a stark dividing line. Don't just think like, well, hey, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But it means that those who work in the gospel and truth, we don't all have to band under one organization. It's fine the way it is. We don't need to have an organization because there is already an organization in heaven, in God. We are in a house. God is already building his house. I don't need to build an earthly structure of hierarchies to represent what God has already built in his church. I am part of his building. I am part of his building, and I have been built by God, and my church is strong, and it is the only church. It is the only organization I am willing to answer to. Unless you got honestly, if you had Jesus walking with you and I could touch him and see him, I'd be very interested in your organization. But other than that, I'm serving Christ the way he has directed me to do. And since he hasn't called me to be part of your organization, I'm not part of it. And we don't have to be part of it. And Christ himself affirms this. This is an important passage. As far as people who want to think we have to all join hand in hand and be, oh, we all got to be part of the same denomination. What would the unbelievers say? If they knew the scriptures, they'd understand that the deceptions of the denominations is all part of what we ought to expect. I expect things to be the way they are. If things weren't the way they are, I couldn't believe this word, because the word says that they would do what they do. It actually makes sense. It's not what we would want, but that's because we savor the things which be of men. If you want the church to all be unified and we all believe the same doctrine and there's no deception, then you savor the things of man. That's what man wants. God savors something else. He savors things. And I'm telling you, 2 Corinthians. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. We make manifest a savor of God's knowledge